Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode was recorded live at the Manor Vale Lodge. Conversations on Dance at the Vale Dance Festival is generously underwritten by the Town of Vale. I'm Rebecca King-Ferraro.
And I'm Michael Sean Breeden. And you're listening to Conversations on Dance. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for returning to Conversations on Dance here at the Vale Dance Festival. My name is Michael Sean Breeden.
And I'm Rebecca King-Ferraro, and we're so glad to have you all joining us this morning, and we're so glad to have Audrey here with us. It's been a while since we've spoken with you, so we look forward to kind of catching up and seeing what you've been up to.
But we would like to do a little rewind in case anyone missed our episode with Audrey in 2019. So maybe we could just learn a little bit about your personal background in dance, maybe what some of your early employment opportunities were like. How did you get started in dance?
Mm. Hi, so happy to be here. good to see you all. My name is Archie Sisako. I'm originally from Munich, Germany. My mom is German. My dad is from Senegal, West Africa. I grew up in Munich, and my dad plays the kora, which is a Senegalese string instrument, sounds like the harp. So he was playing and practicing every day, and I was just like not even walking and moving already around. So I think the connection to dance was established really early. For me to start more professional dance actually came out of a visit to the school doctor, which is more common in Germany before you join elementary school. They do a test to make sure you're ready to go to school, and you had to draw a snake and say something at the same time. And apparently I was struggling, so the doctor told my parents, in order to improve coordination and spatial awareness, it would be really good for me to dance. Mm-hmm. So my parents were like, oh, that's great. She loves to dance anyway. So they put me into jazz dance and ballet once a week. And I loved it. I loved both of it. But my ballet teacher told my parents after every class, oh, she needs to do this professionally. She's so talented. And my parents were really hesitant to push me in any kind of way. So they kept saying, no, this is just a hobby. This is fine. But my ballet teacher was very, very persistent. And eventually my parents let me audition for the Ballet Academy Munich. It's very hard to get in, but it is completely free. And once you're in, if you pass the exams every year, you can just grow and move up from one level to the next. And I got in. I loved it. I stayed there, and it was first once a week, then twice, then three times, and then every day. And the last 2 years are actually part of university, so you do get a diploma in dance, which is very helpful. Yeah. So I ended up having that as well. you had to decide if you wanted to drop out of normal school for that, which I didn't quite want to do. So the last 2 years, I did dance all day, and then at 5 p.m. I ran and did evening school. So I graduated from that. And then I moved to New York through an SAB summer course, and then I took a class at ABT, and then JKO offered me a scholarship for their round year program, which I had to decide really quickly if I wanted to take. I came back from the summer course and then had 2 weeks to be like, oh, am I moving to New York? And my parents didn't have the money to help me out with that. But then my grandparents and my teacher actually helped me make this dream come true. I moved to New York and danced at JKO for 1 year, auditioned everywhere, which is actually easy because a lot of big companies come to New York to hold auditions. So every weekend, everybody gets a number and hopes to get the job. And then I ended up getting a job with the National Ballet of Canada in Toronto. So I moved to Canada and danced with that company for 3.5 years. Very classical company, big company, 70 people. I enjoyed it very much. And then after a while, I started getting really nice opportunities. So then you're alone on stage, which was great. And I was like, oh, I want more of that. But in a big company, you often have to wait a long time before it happens again. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of ready to dance more. And I joined Alonso King Lions Ballet in 2014, which is quite perfect for me because it's a smaller company, 12 people, and Alonso King, the director, really just choreographs on his dancers. So everything that you have will be used and valued and played with. And so it was a good fit for me, and I'm still there.
Let's talk a little bit about the style that you trained in. What was your initial training like? And then, like, you, I remember last time we spoke with you, you went to SAB and you kind of like took to that style. You were interested in that. Tell us a little bit about that.
So my school in Germany, the Ballet Academy Munich, was very Russian Vaganova style training. And so I did that for 11 years. And my first kind of encounter with something else was when I went to SAB to do the summer course there. And I remember the first few days, I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Everything was double the speed, triple the speed, point shoes from the bar, different techniques of spotting front and holding fingers. Like, I was just very overwhelmed. But at the same time, there was also something fun about it. And I remember by the end of the summer course, I was like, oh, this isn't like, this could actually work also. So like just like gaining more opportunities and like just broaden your vision. Mm-hmm. So it's not so like this is the one style. Like there's so much out there. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a really good experience for me, and it challenged me and it helped me move faster. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk for 1 second. Mm-hmm. You mentioned exams briefly, and that is something that, as far as I'm aware, doesn't happen anywhere in America. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
But if
it's quite rare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is that like? Is that just something that, you know, you grow up with so it feels normal? Mm-hmm. Or is it stressful every year?
Oh, it's stressful. It's twice a year. Mm-hmm. And so basically these exams are more like all the directors and teachers come, they observe the class, and then now they also do like written papers and all of that. So yeah, it's yeah.
What is part of the written exam? Like dance history?
Yeah. Yeah. And music. And and we did train in, like, you know, we had character, we had modern, we had classical. So we had like different areas. Yeah.
Were you interested in any of those other areas? Or was it always just like ballet point shoes for you?
I liked them all. Yeah. I really enjoyed them all. I even loved character dance. Like, because we would have these, like, he would explain us, oh, this dance is from the Ukraine, this dance is from here. And then you had to be a completely different character. And I loved it. And you had to like play with the rhythm. And yeah, so yeah. No, I loved it.
Did you ever think about staying in Europe, or were you always kind of New York centric?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, to be honest, I never had like this really clear vision. I just stumbled into dance. I didn't even grow up saying I want to be a ballerina. I just stumbled into that and I enjoyed it. So I kept going. And my parents were actually the ones that had nothing to do with dance and They never had gone to a ballet. And they even kept asking me, are you sure you want to do this? It's now 4 times a week. And I'm like, no, I'm still really liking it. And so I think I stayed. And then when it was time to start thinking about the future, my director, Constanze Vernon, who really played a really big role in my future and path, she always had this vision of me in the States. And I think it had to do with my height. I was just always tall, and also my skin color. And she was worried that it would maybe be tricky finding a lot of opportunities in Germany. And so she was like, oh, I see you in New York. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So yeah, again, and then even when I was training at JKO, a lot of my friends had this clear dream, like ABT, ABT. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, yeah, I mean, I love ABT. I love like a lot, like, I just am where I go, I have to feel it out. And then if I have a good sense, like I remember auditioning, sometimes I went, for example, to Boston and I felt it out. And I went to the National Ballet of Canada and I felt it out. And I feel like I felt like a good sensation, like being in their studios and the people were nice and it just felt right. So mm-hmm. then when I got the job offer, I was like, yeah. That's it. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I wonder, tell us a little bit about those early years. So you're just joining National Ballet of Canada, first time in a company. What were some of the things you were dancing in and then some of your first opportunities that you got?
Yeah. My first ballet that I danced was Serenade, which they showed in like a little excerpt of it the other day. Uh-huh. And I loved it. It's really the best piece to start with because the corps de ballet, which is your first position when you join a company, is so important. And it's huge and it's magical and you become this like unity and you're all there together. And it was great. I loved it so much. Company life isn't easy. You come from a school where all eyes are on you and then you're in a big company and suddenly you just have a lot of more responsibilities. You have to make sure you read the schedule. I missed the rehearsal my first week because I didn't read the schedule correctly or, you know, and people in class are not giving you corrections. It's just like a warm-up. You have to make sure you work hard. You have to make sure if you need to practice something, you go next door. So it's just, it changes and you have to really grow up. But I really enjoyed it. And then my first opportunities were Lilac Fairy, and I did Chroma and Elite Compassions and like those kind of things were just like, oh, I like this. Rather than being in the quarter ballet with so many people and trying to be exactly like the person in front of you when I am the tallest and longest and quite different, but yet trying to move like them. And I think I moved a little bit, not as big as I could. I was holding back, and I was even like holding back my height, I think, just subconsciously. Yeah.
You should never try to fit in any sort. That's what your uniqueness is, just what makes you so special.
I'm wondering, you know, you have this amazing job. It's a company that's world-renowned, respected by every ballet dancer. Mm. Making the choice to leave fairly early, 3.5 years is a significant amount of time, but still early. Mm-hmm. How did you make that decision? How did you come to that decision that you needed to go somewhere where you would feel more comfortable living in your own individuality?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... We every year with the company, you have a talk with the director. And I talked to Karen Kane, and she really, from the moment I joined, she was always really looking out for me, which I appreciated. She knew me from the Prix de Lausanne, a competition I had done prior. And so we had a good relationship, and I think a very honest relationship. And one of the questions she had asked me was, like, where do you see yourself, like, going forward? I'm like, I definitely want to move up because I really like these opportunities. And she's like, I see that for you too. And I am, you know, like not really the core person. But at the same time, if she looks at the year program, she sees me here and then again there. Mm. And she also felt kind of like, I don't want you to stay and then regret waiting around. Even if there is a promotion or whatever it is, right? And so then she was like, I just wish there was somebody that would just work with all of that you have, because she said, I feel like we are not. And I was like, I feel that a little bit. And she actually mentioned lines. She's like, I love Alonso. I feel like that would be such a good fit. Mm. And I knew about Alonso and lines too. In fact, I had taken a class with them and I was still in school. it was like a whole day, and I was so overwhelmed. They had to improvise. They had to move so different. I was like, oh, I don't recognize this. I don't like it. But I had obviously grown up, and I was more mature, and I was just ready to do more. So when she mentioned it again, I was like, sure. So I think we were on a little break, and I was in Germany, and Lions Ballet was in France on tour. So I actually was able to join them in France. I remember it was like just squeezed in there. They had a show. I arrived in the morning, didn't even take class, just went on stage and worked with Alonso personally. Wow. And it was great. It was like he just started creating on me and making up phrases and movement and then let me do it. And I just went for it. I really didn't have any big expectations. I was just there, and I think that was perfect because I wasn't doubting anything. He was like, spell your name with movement. And I just went for it. I was like, okay. And I feel like in the past, I would have been like, what? So it was challenging. Like at one point, he had me put on my pointe shoes and face upstage, and it was all dark, so I was just falling around. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, I actually want to hire you. Can you start tomorrow? And I'm like, no, I'm in the middle of a season, I have a contract, but he's like, oh, well, I know Karen, and so they talked it out, and I was able to leave kind of mid-season. Wow. After Nutcracker and join Lions. Yeah.
Wow.
That Nutcracker. That
conversation with Karen is maybe not one that's very common with artistic directors. It can be very common.
Yeah.
It's hard, right, to tell a dancer, I don't see you here. Mm-hmm. And so I just wonder how you received that. It sounds like it was a very positive conversation, but it could also be a little disappointing.
Yeah. I think especially when you talk about things after the fact, it's so much easier, right? To like see it from there. I remember, even though I agreed, still hearing it like, oh shit, she thinks that too. Like, right. And she thinks that I might be like wasting my time. That's big. So I was definitely, I was sad. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend and I at the time, we had just decided to maybe move in together, and we were about to sign like,
Elise.
And then I told him, this talk now makes me rethink, and maybe it's not the best idea. I mean, Karen was, she said, you know, just try a few things. And she's not, and I was like, so do I have to leave if I don't find anything? She's like, no, like it's really just,
that's so amazing.
Know, yeah. So it was like, it wasn't like, you need to go. It wasn't in that sense, but still like,
right.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty abrupt start to company life.
Yeah.
I'm presuming you moved then right away. Like, I mean, you weren't doing a plane commute to work.
No, not to San Francisco.
So what was that like, kind of just dealing with not just the upheaval of transitioning to a new company, but a new city, like wholly new life?
Yeah. Good thing I had done it before because I left my home in Germany when I was 18, moved to New York, big city, overwhelming. And then I moved to Toronto, completely new again. Mm-hmm. So I think I wasn't as worried about San Francisco. I was like actually kind of excited. I did find an Airbnb first, and then I thought, okay, once I'm there, I'll figure the rest out. And Lines was really helpful as well. I didn't love San Francisco in the very beginning because I didn't know the city, so I went kind of to like very sketchy areas and I took the wrong buses and I was like, oh gosh, and it was raining. And so it took me a second, about a few weeks, and then I discovered the beautiful places and now I'm in love. But I think the toughest for me for the transition was just joining Lines and realizing how different they were. My idea at first was to stay for 1 year and then move on to maybe more classical stuff. Like, I just wanted to get the experience, just see what it's like. Obviously, I enjoyed it and stayed, but I remember the first few weeks I wanted to cry every day just because Alonso kept saying, there's more. And I was like, where? I'm doing what you're saying, because I was so used to just do what you're told. And he wanted to do what you're told, and then what are you saying through the movement? So let's say he tells us the movement is this and this, then I would just do this and this. And what he was interested in is like, what does this fist mean to you? Like, how do you want to hold it? How is it? And then how does this wrap? Like, does it wrap? Is it soft? Is it maybe another people's hand? Like, there's so many options. And these options at first get really overwhelming until you embrace them and think it's like, wow. So it never gets boring, because every day I'm going to approach it in a different way and it's going to keep it interesting, and you're just like 100% present in the work rather than just like, oh, here we go, I've done this ballet, I know the steps, kind of like zoning out. So it's like, it's just a different right. movement.
I wonder if that's kind of a parallel with, like you were saying before, you were just trying to sort of fit in before and now you have this freedom. So how did you kind of start to shed that feeling of wanting to fit in and embracing your beautiful self?
Yeah. I think like within after a week, it goes really fast with Lines, because you're constantly asked to do that. So without realizing, suddenly you really ask yourself, what do I like? Oh yeah, this. And then you do something and you realize, oh, my arms have never been that far away from me. They have always held them there. And then you start liking this, and then you start finding length in other, and you're like, wow. So it was like, yeah, I just like had these realizations like throughout. Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't stop. You know, after a year, like I did actually get a contract with Dresden, like after 6 months of joining Lions, suddenly I had an offer from a company that I thought I would want to join, because it's classical again. And then I just couldn't accept it. I was like, there's so much to learn here. There's so much growth and expansion that I can just like now leave again. So and that just happened year after year after year. And now it's like my 10th season.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, the company is smaller. What kind of influence the other dancers had on you? Because I'm sure that they're all embracing their own individuality in that same way. It is a very unique company. Nobody looks like anyone else. And were you kind of emulating or like being influenced by the others in the room as well? Like not just Alonso.
Definitely. Because it is such a small company, Alonso is the person in the front and in the studio, but then you're watching others, right? And then everybody, because we are like a family, we give each other so much information. And so I had people that had been there for over 10 years like work with me on the side and like feed me information. It was so helpful. And sometimes I would be also frustrated, because the information that they would give me is like just kind of internally, and then there was like a picture reference, and I'm like, oh god, like, and then they were like, don't worry, it's gonna just take a few years to get it. and I'm very German, I want to just do it right now and specific. And so it's just a completely different way of working. But yeah, in the end, I couldn't be more grateful. And now I'm the one giving these people this advice. And I'm like, don't worry, it took me years as well.
Let's talk about improving a little bit, because you've told us that that's a big part of Alonso's process. And for us, we can't think of anything worse than having to improv something. It's like being a, like you're saying, you want someone to tell you exactly what to do and then you execute and that's your comfort zone. Yeah. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, definitely. And he loves to play these little games where he puts you all in the corner and then he's like, oh, now just move across the floor and think there's maybe fire under your feet or in the middle there something happens and you get swallowed. Or like, I'm just making this up, like literally things like this. And if you're not used to that, that can be a bit scary because you have to just go for it with not knowing the outcome, which we are just not used in these other companies. Right. And I remember one of my first shows, actually my first show in New York with Lions, there was a ballet called Constellation, and it has these big light panels that people carry and shine with. And so one of the roles that I was given was improvising from stage right to stage left with just one... like one thing that was said is like once you get to center, you get lower. That's it. And people are like shining light above you. And so I'm like, I'm obviously not improvising. It's my first show in New York. So I planned out a whole scenario, had all the steps set, and I felt really good about it. And so I did the show. And then after, Alonso came to me and he's like, what was that? That was not improv. That was completely structured and set, and it's not working. And tomorrow you need to improv. So I was like, oh my gosh, like I really, now I can't set anything, he knows. So it was like one of the scariest things because I just stepped on stage. I'm like, here I am. I don't know what's going to happen. And then my body just started moving and it was amazing because I can't even tell you what I did. It happened. And at one point I was on the other side. And then after he was like, there we go. Wow. And it felt amazing because I just could like shut off my thinking brain and just listen to like the more internal, like, and let like something else speak, which I wasn't used to. And that's how I really started learning about my own. Like I would improv and suddenly I would do like these really weird things. I'm like, wow, my body really wants to speak like this. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And rather than being like, that's odd, I was starting to like embrace it. I'm like, okay, I hear you.
Can we talk? I want to keep going in this improv direction. We talked a little bit about improv yesterday with musicians as well. Mm-hmm. And improv can mean just go out and do what you want for, you know, four counts of eight. Mm-hmm. But it could also mean other things. Like there's structure to the improv. What are some of the ways that Alonso might structure improv sections?
Like most of the ballets are really not like, people sometimes ask, is this all improv? And we're like, no, it's not. But because we have so much freedom in the structure, you do make choices. Mm-hmm. So it's different than improv from just like free for all, but you can make choices within the vocabulary that you start learning by dancing with Lions. You start learning to, what are some of the movements that are just like make sense for the work. So it's so hard to explain, but again, like even when you have certain, let's say the phrase is an eight count of hand, up, you still have to do hand, up, but you might be able to say, I'm doing hand, up, or I'm doing hand, up. So you can play with timing. Mm-hmm. You can make choices on music. Mm-hmm. You can make it also, maybe he didn't specify the head. So maybe people start looking different ways while they do it, or they do it at different levels. So it all becomes different, and yet we are still staying true to the structure.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Do you ever get feedback from him that's like, but not that?
Yeah. Especially in the early days, because I would say I wasn't as familiar with the Lions vocabulary yet. And so when we could make choices, like I remember one time I put this like really big, like a la Secon jump in there. And I thought it was great. But he was like, like because it just didn't make sense. And that's hard to explain. But, you know, where I put the jump, it was like more intimate and it stayed like more grounded, and suddenly I decided like it didn't fit together.
Right.
So then it didn't make sense. And now I understand that. But back then I was just like, oh.
But I can do this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's less showy. It's like the work is just not about, ha, look what I can do, but more like I'm inviting you to join me in my world. Mm. So it's just a deeper level.
Right. Let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the Vail Dance Festival. What was your first time here? I'm assuming it was with Lions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came with Lions years ago, and then we came again 2019, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. When we did the interview.
Yeah.
So this is really the first time that I'm here by myself. And when we came in the past, we wouldn't be here for the whole festival. We came, we performed, and we left. Then the last time we were here, we had that collaboration with New York City Ballet, where half of the company, including myself, it was six of us and six of them, would come together and build a piece. Was it six or was it?
It sounds about six, right.
So
it was so cool, and that was an Alonso piece.
It was an Alonso piece. Yeah, yeah, personal element, and we actually, after that creation, that was for Vail, the company did that piece a lot. So it really became one of our important pieces.
Wow, it was so great. We loved it. How is this experience different being here as your own artist? You're also the artist in residence this year, which is very important. So how is that different for you this year?
Yeah, just really, it's like I'm on my own. It's, and I think the biggest difference is really that I'm in multiple pieces by other choreographers. I'm also creating my own piece, which I've never done before. And it's, I'm here for the whole chunk of time. So it really feels like I'm moving into Vail and I'm just working all day, every day. So it's a lot. I'm already exhausted. And I just, yesterday, I went to bed. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to sleep. And then I realized it's really just the beginning of the festival. Like, it hasn't really started, like, you know. So, yeah, but it's great. And you are with all these other people from all these different companies. And they're all extraordinary. So I'm in class and I'm just amazed and just really, really grateful. I told somebody in the center yesterday, I can't believe this is happening. Like, we're all here on stage and we're just like, it just brings everybody together and we're just sharing our passion for dance and creating art. And that's really special. And you don't have a lot of places where this can really happen. And not just for a day, but for a period of time. So,
So did you say this is your very first choreographic opportunity?
Well, so basically I've started choreographing. I mean, through lines, you start building that skill. But during the pandemic was really when I kind of dug into that, and I choreographed a little piece for Ballet X, like over Zoom and on, like, just maybe a person or two, just like a solo. But I've never choreographed on myself. Last summer I got the Toulmin Fellowship through NYU, which included me going to New York and creating a piece. But again, I created on others. And then I improv the little section. So I didn't really, because I kind of wasn't ready. I was like kind of scared because I never judge when I choreograph on others. But then when it was about me, I started being like, why do you do this? Oh, this doesn't look, you know, I went back to that and I was like, no, I can't do it. And then this year, here we are, I'm doing it. And I'm actually really excited. Yeah, we'll see what happens. My cousin, who plays the kora that I mentioned, that my dad also plays, it's an instrument that has been in my family for 72 generations. It goes way, way back. My ancestors in Senegal used to play it for the kings, and it was important to keep traditions and stories alive and being passed on. And so my last name, Sissoko, is very well known in Senegal or West Africa in general, for being griots, and griots translated means storytellers. So that's just, it's my family. Born into it. And so I am already a storyteller. And it's funny to me because I'm not playing the kora. I mean, I'm learning now, but, you know, it's not something that I pursued. But I pursued dance. And through dance, I tell stories. So it's just like, yeah, makes sense. Yeah. So now I get to create, and I'm calling my piece griot. So I think it's going to be fantastic having him here too. Yeah.
How did you decide that you would just create on you? What was that conversation like with Damien? Was there an idea that maybe you would work with other dancers?
Well, he just said, and you build a piece. And I said, oh, how many dancers do I get? And he's like, actually, it's going to be on you. On you.
Okay, so there
I'm
you
like,
go.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
It's funny. I'm curious, a lot of choreographers, you know, are older and maybe like your physical capabilities lessen over time naturally, but you are still obviously very much in your prime. How much does your own physical ability influence what you are putting on others? Because you can do the steps so fully. It's something like, okay, obviously we know these legs go up. like, is that like, you're like, oh, that feels fine on me, so I'll put it on you? Or how are you interacting with the dancers in that kind of relationship?
Yeah. Not at all, actually. Okay. Yeah. that's why I've been getting asked a lot about choreographing for competitions, like solos, and I say immediately no, because I know it requires legs and tricks, and it's just not how I want to work. Like, I'm more like, and I don't plan ahead. I don't have everything set up before I choreograph. I need to be in the room. I need to feel the dancers. I need to work with them. And then I just build, and it just kind of happens more natural and organic, and it's specifically for these dancers, kind of how Alonso would also work, you know. So it's like, yes, I'm giving movement, but I'm so open to see what the dancers make out of it, and then it starts shifting and, yeah, crystallizing. So yeah. And I think that was the tricky challenge for choreographing on my own, where I know what I can do, but I didn't want to approach it from that way, where I'm just like, oh, let's show I can. No, so it had to be like, if I hear the music, what is my body doing? And then I surprised myself, because it's so much less. It's less. It's feeling the music and then letting my body speak. Because if I want to stay true to the storytelling, I can't think, oh, this step is good, or this. I have to go deeper and I have to see what does the music do to my storytelling. That isn't necessarily... my goal is not that the audience is like, oh, I got the story. This is what she said. She went here and then this happened. It's more like they felt something. Mm. So I just want to
have a feeling.
Yeah.
How do you feel like Alonso has impacted your voice as a choreographer? And how do you feel like you want to also veer off in your own path to create your own voice as well?
Yeah, I guess... hugely impacted, because without realizing, I'm like, wow, even when I choreograph, I'm so similar to like how I work, like how I go in the room, how I show, how I like pick things from the people. So that is very similar. And I don't know if I would have always choreographed like that, who knows, right? But yeah, creating my own, I mean, I'm not really thinking of Alonso, so I don't, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure, because my movement language is similar, or like has influenced by him, so I'm sure it's there. But I think the thing about Alonso is like, he just helped me find myself. So how you see me at line, that's me. And so how you see me in my choreography, that's me. So it's just like, there's not really a difference. It's like, I am still finding and have found certain, like, yeah, me.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we love watching you in Alonso's ballets, but something I'm really excited to see you in is the White Swan Pas de Deux, which is going to be sort of like a full circle moment for you. Like, classicism is in your bones. So tell us about how that's been going, and what night will we be able to see you perform that?
Yeah, I'm so excited for it, but also so nervous, because it's when people ask me in interviews, what's something that you may be missing from the classical repertoire, I always say White Swan Pas, because I loved Swan Lake. I did get to dance with the National many times, and then I even went back after being with Lions to guest with the National Ballet a few years later to do Swan Lake, but I've never gotten to do White Swan Pas, and I love that part of it so much. And so it wasn't originally... when I talked to Damien, I was just doing Dying Swan. And then later on, at one point, he was like, oh, good news. We thought it would be also so great if you did White Swan Pas with Ben Rodison, who is with the National Ballet of Canada. And I was like, okay. And it was that mixture of like really, really excited, but also like, wow, this is going to be hard, because I've just never done it. And so, yeah, we just started working on it. And I'm performing it on Saturday, I believe. Oh, no, Friday. Friday is White Swan. Yes, I'm doing it on Friday. And yeah, it's going to be... Well, the tricky challenge I have with these very classical and original repertory, to like, how can I still bring myself into it? Because that's all I've been working on, right? Like finding myself, finding like what makes me. And so I don't want to completely lose that, but yet there's a completely different structure. So I want to stay true to that structure as well, and the technique and everything that's required. So it's just like finding that and getting used to your partner and... yeah, figuring it out. So I'm just going step by step, day by day. And yeah, I will be doing White Swan soon.
So exciting. Before we started recording, we were talking briefly about the pas de deux that you and Calvin Royal III did on opening night. That was just so gorgeous. Tell us a little bit. In true Veil fashion, it was kind of like thrown together slightly at the last minute, which is, just makes it all the more impressive. So tell us what that was like.
First of all, we were both the happiest when we found out we could be dancing together, because when I was at JKO, he was at JKO, and so we started becoming friends. I always saw him rehearsing next door, and so we became friends, and all these years we've been saying, oh, it would be so nice if we could dance together, because we never got the chance, and then here we are, Veil made it happen. And I think Epilogue Power was also the perfect fit, because he had done it at ABT, I had done a version at Lines, and so we just kind of got together, saw where the differences were, felt each other, had a few rehearsals, and then did it on stage. But it felt so natural. It felt like we were supposed to dance together in this movement. So it just, it was great.
It was flawless. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
We loved it.
Well, we can't wait to see you perform throughout the festival. I think now we have a little bit of time to open the floor to audience questions.
I have a mic coming around. Go ahead.
This is a very different question, but I can't resist asking the story behind that magnificent photograph of yours that graces the poster, and how it was accomplished and how much time it took to do it and those sorts of things.
Yeah. I remember that photo shoot. It was pretty, it wasn't that long ago, and I got braids, and so I had these long braids, and we're like, what can we do with that? And I remember we were like in the studio, and I was like, I kept flipping my hair, but I kept losing my balance too, because I flipped and I would like fall off a point. But I'm like on my pointe shoes, and I'm like holding my hands like this, and then I'm like flipping back, and we got it. But it was really fun, and it was fun, like, that whole photo shoot. There's actually a bunch of pictures, and they all like involve like also playing with the hair, which we don't usually do. So it was great.
It was another improvised moment.
Exactly.
Any other questions? Anyone? No.
All right. Bruce,
come on, Bruce.
Okay.
and I thought it was good. I'll pass it back to you in a second. Okay. So when you came out on stage, my first reaction, I know you guys can all put your hair in a bun, but my first reaction is, where'd her hair go? I mean, it was gone. Is that with such curly hair, is that particularly difficult?
Honestly, it's fine, but also that's all I'm used to, right? It would have been like when I had the long braids, it was much harder, because you don't want to have a huge thing on your head, like, so like putting it all back was like a different thing. But with the curly hair, it's fine. Yeah.
By the way, Calvin says he's the same height as you if you're on flats.
Yes.
Sure. He's not a short guy.
No, not at all.
You and Calvin were so wonderful dancing together. I just wondered, are there other partners that you enjoy dancing with, that you feel there's just really a great structure between you?
I mean, I haven't gotten as many opportunities to, in Lions, I dance with a lot of people, right? Like, I have, like, I would say one main partner, but within that, like, I've done the same part of it with like three other guys, and a lot of people. We are all very tall at Lions, but I've also danced with someone that was shorter than me, and it doesn't really matter as much at Lions. And then here, like, I got to dance with Calvin. I'm getting to dance with Ben, which so different, right? Because we're doing different ballets, but I love dancing with both of them. Ben is incredible. He's an incredible partner. He has done Swan Lake before, so it's really a perfect fit, because at least he knows what he's doing, right? When I'm still figuring it out, I'm like, where's my hand? Where's my head? He's like, I'm here. So I think I even told, like, Jamar Roberts is building a piece on us. He's creating a trio with India and me and Olivia. And I was like, Jamar, like, I feel like I would love to dance with you. And he's like, I'd love that too. And so I feel like there's just, like, I'm interested in dancing with everyone. Like, just, like, see what happens, you know?
Any other questions? No? All right, well, Well, Aji, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was such a delight, and we're obsessed with your dancing. You're so beautiful, and it was so great to see you dancing again this year, and we look forward to what's next for you.
Can't wait to see more.
Thanks, Aji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Conversations on Dance is part of the Acast Creator Network. For more information, visit conversationsondancepod.com.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.